And dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were to share Jesus with someone who has no idea about the Christian faith, where would you even begin? Well, simply, you would begin with common ground, the things that you have in common with everyone. And that number one thing that we all have in common is the sting of death. Everyone knows what it feels like to lose someone. Everyone hates death. Everyone goes out of their way to avoid dying. And so in sharing Christ, sharing the empty tomb and the fact that he is risen from the dead, it's a great place to start. When reaching out to people in ancient times, this was their method. They wanted to share the defeat of death with all people, so that all people could call on Christ to receive their salvation. But the people who learned of this didn't know the faith. They didn't know of any tribe of Jewish people who were given a promise by God. They worshiped their gods, the ones that they made. They worshiped their gods who were not loving. They worshiped their gods who did nothing to help them. So to share the true God, they helped them by teaching them about the life that is found in Jesus, by linking Jesus to their common and shared experiences to show that he is the Savior. And that is the history of how we get the term Easter. There is this old English monk named Bede, or Bede. I don't really know how to pronounce it, honestly. B-E-D-E. He was a great historian, and he was the only one who has written about this goddess named Ustara, or Ostara. There's a bunch of different pronunciations, I don't know. But as it developed through the years, this is where we get the term Easter, because it was the goddess of spring, it was the time of new life, and it was a great time to link it to these people. It's also called Ostermonat, which means the month of Easter. And so for these people, it was very easy to share with them the truth of Christ by just linking it to their common experience. But for many others, they don't use this term, Easter. They use another term, Pascha or Pascha, or as we might know it in English, Passover. You see, at this time of the year, it is also the Passover, a time where people gather together and celebrate all that God has done for the Jewish people in rescuing them from the harsh slavery in Egypt and bringing them through the wilderness to the promised land. And for Jesus and his disciples, who were good and faithful Jews, they gathered together to celebrate this meal. At this meal, though, they also institute a new supper. Jesus passes around some bread, gives thanks, breaks it, distributes it, and says, "This is my body given for you." Takes a cup of wine, blesses it, passes it around, and says, "This is my blood of the new covenant for you." In this meal, they are sharing a new thing, that Christ is truly present with them in this wonderful thing to unite them all together. But they're also celebrating the Passover meal, a meal with various foods that represent various things: the bitterness of slavery, the saltiness of tears, the harsh labor, but also the new life and the joy of spring. But yet for Jesus and his disciples, they don't get to enjoy very much of this Passover festival. Jesus and his disciples go off into a garden to pray, and soon after, Jesus is betrayed and arrested. The Jewish leadership at this time hated Jesus. They despised him. He taught the people to focus on the heart and the intent of the law. He taught the people to love their enemies. For the Jews, they were fine having enemies. He taught them to care and love for people. And he taught them that that care and love for people was more important than obeying things like the Sabbath laws. But yet he also taught people that he was the very Son of God. And that, to the Jewish leadership, was absolute heresy. And so they take him that night, and they bring him in front of a mock trial, trying to find anyone and everyone they can to accuse this Jesus of something awful and horrible. But yet, he is innocent. As they lead him before the secular government, before the Judean King Herod, and before the Roman governor Pilate, both of these men judge Jesus to be innocent. But yet the Jews still shout out, "Crucify him." And so he is led to be crucified. His hands, his feet are pierced. He is hung upon the cross. His blood has been shed. He is taken down from that cross after he dies. He is placed in a new tomb. He is sealed away. But yet, as the Jews celebrate the Passover, celebrating the blood of the Lamb, we too celebrate the crucifixion because of the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, our Savior, was shed for us. But yet, in this celebration, it is not a joyous celebration. We do not take joy in Jesus suffering or in Jesus dying. We are not happy about this. But yet in this we are thankful. Thankful for a God who would take our place, who loves us so dearly that he would give us his Son, who suffers on our behalf to remove the curseful sin. We thank God for Jesus. But yet on Easter, it is a time of celebration. It is a time of great joy, of anthems being sung. And let me emphasize what I think is the most important part of Easter, that any man can die. I could tell you that I will die in your place, but my death would be meaningless. It would be pointless. But yet Jesus, with him and his power and his authority and his mastery over all creation, death cannot hold him. This is why Easter is filled with praises to God and alleluias, because Jesus is alive. And as we so wonderfully and as we very often say, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It is so important to us that we have that memorized and we say that constantly. Because for us, it all depends on this. Through the history of the Jews, as we read in the scriptures, we see so many laws instituted, but all we see is failure. No one can seem to keep these laws. And even today, we have laws that we are supposed to abide by. And we look at them and we say, there is no way I can do this. But for us, even when we want to follow that law, it seems impossible at times. We are simply broken. We are unable to control ourselves. We get so angry with people that hatred enters our hearts. We don't want to judge someone, but yet as someone passes by and does something, it's impossible not to. We don't want to look, but lust somehow turns our eyes. We are broken. There's nothing that we can do to fix ourselves, no matter how hard we try. And so it all depends on this. It all depends on Jesus taking our place, taking our sins, taking our death. Paul in Romans tells us how to receive this victory. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. It all depends on this. And all you have to do to receive this salvation is simply trust. Trust that God sent Jesus for you. Trust that Jesus died for you. Trust that Jesus rose for you. But yet, being very realistic, it's hard to trust in something that you cannot see. And that is where you go to God in prayer, asking him to help you with those doubts. I remember that very famous passage where Jesus goes to heal a man's daughter. And he says, Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. God, help us in our doubts. But yet, confession too is not just a thing that we say to God alone. It is a public thing. And this is something that we all need to improve on. I myself included. Sometimes it's hard to confess. Fear of being ridiculed, fear of having somebody maybe even angry with us for what we believe, or simply you don't want to show that side of your life because then if you do, those other people will start to look at you differently and treat you differently. But yet, I encourage you to be bold in this. This is your victory. This is your life. This is what you get to share every day. That God not only has given you this victory, but has placed you in a very special place in this creation so that you might share this wonderful victory. And it's not just for those people who do not yet know, but it's even for your brothers and sisters that you get to share with them the victory of Christ. When we say Christ is risen indeed, we are saying it to one another, celebrating with one another. And the best place to do this is at the time of death, reminding our brothers and sisters of the hope that we have in Christ who will raise us from the dead. That's what this is all about. It is all about the defeat of death. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. This means that you will live. This means that you will be risen indeed. Alleluia. All through the love of God that He has given to you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.